All right, let's pause in prayer. Let's bow our heads, and even if you just want to put your hands up in front of you on your table or on your lap or whatever you would like to do. Lord Jesus, we're here this morning. Holy Spirit, as we've just sung, we welcome you here. Welcome your presence. We're glad we could be here with you, God. We ask you to meet us. We ask you to encourage us. We ask you to speak to us. God, we give you the cares of our heart, our minds, cares of the week coming ahead, the concerns of what happened this past week, and we just lay it in our hands and we give it to you. You're going to take care of us because you love us so much. Father, we ask you to speak to us through your word. Your word is life and your word is truth. So speak to us, guide us, show us things that we need in our life that maybe we need to change or work on or improve or grow or to have hope. So thank you, Father. Bless our time here, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, in your name. Amen. Amen. What situation is asking you to be courageous and brave right now? What situation is asking you and me to be courageous and brave right now? And does that question sound kind of familiar? Yeah, I talked about it last week. And as I'm working through 1 Thessalonians, I realized, oh man, this is still a relevant topic this week. Idle beliefs that weaken resilience. How do we get bravery and courage? As I challenged you last week, as I challenged us, we need to get brave. We need to be courageous. We need to step up. We need to, things happen in life that we just need to be. How do we get that? Well, it's simple. Just pull up your bootstraps. Put on your big boy boots or your big girl boots. Suck it up, princess, as my wife often says to me. Well, not often, but you know. But that doesn't work, does it? Sometimes we just can't find those bootstraps. Sometimes we just don't have those big boy shoes or big girl boots. We just don't know where they are. And so, Pastor Tim, you talk about being brave and courageous and having resilience. How do I get that? See, as Christians, we know our beliefs and our doctrines. And so often as preachers, and I'm sorry about that sometimes, but as preachers we say, well, this is the truth. Go out and do this truth. But there's another side of our life that though our faith is built on truth, sometimes we don't feel it. Anybody been there? You just don't feel that faith. We give our feelings sometimes too much control over how we live, unfortunately. And sometimes our feelings come and they overwhelm us. And then our resilience is gone, our courage is gone, our bravery is gone. We can't do what we need to do. It's more than just, I don't feel like it. It's like, I can't. I just can't do this. And sometimes it's part of what we believe deep down. If we actually think through our thoughts and our feelings, our doctrines and belief, what happens is when we're up against a tough situation, it's actually what we feel here. It's not the doctrine and beliefs that we have in our head. We know all the right answers, right? We've said that. I know God is good. I know God is true. I know God is all of this. I just can't go there. You been there? Everybody can nod their head. I've been there many times. Let's go on a journey back to 1 Thessalonians and back to Acts 17. Now, I'm going to pause here for a minute. On each of your tables, there's no paper and pens intended to help you and help you to walk out the messages during the week. Go ahead, grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, and take some notes. I was thinking about this. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you if you're not taking notes. I'm just not. But I was thinking about this. A part of me gets a little selfish. I put in all these hours in preparing a message for people to just sit there and go. Okay, so that's part of it. Go ahead, Joe, keep that posture right there, right? Right? Like, I put in a lot of prayer and a lot of work for you, to encourage you. But I want you to take it this next week or the next weeks. Now, your retention of the messages goes up substantially if you write. If you write down a few things. I'm not asking you to write the whole sermon. Just those different things that, oh man, I got to remember that. I got to remember that. You wouldn't go through elementary school without taking notes, right? Kids, you take notes. Junior high school, you have to take notes. University, college, yeah, don't bother taking notes. Just remember everything. It'll stick right there. You don't need to take notes in university and college, right? We take notes in all kinds of places, but sometimes we don't think that this is a good place to take notes. It is a good place to write down a couple of things and say, all right, because I'm guaranteeing you, by the time lunch is done and you're having your Matterslope, you've totally forgotten. Matterslope is an afternoon sleep for those of you that are like me and don't know a little German. You've forgotten the message. And God wants to encourage us for the week and the weeks to come, all right? So I encourage you, I challenge you, and I'll check on the way out. No, I won't. If you've taken notes, grab a piece of paper, pen, doodle. Some of you like to doodle when you're listening, and that helps you take your attention, keep your attention, so that's great. All right. Okay. Let's go. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I read for you part of it. Let's move on. Got it up there, Dwight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. There we go. And now, what verse? And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere. I just read that in the verse before, in verse 5, I believe it was. I'm reading verse 8. Okay, go to verse 8. I'm reading out of my reading Bible, which we're going to get into small groups. I'm purposely reading out of this, so that you can get used to the good reading Bibles. The NLT version is the whole Bible, don't worry about it, but it doesn't have the verses and the chapters in here, which is really neat. I really enjoy it. If you have a problem with that, talk to me and I'll talk to you later about it. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever you go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. Your reputation, church, is out there. Our reputation, good, bad, or ugly, is out there. What do people in Rosenort and in southern Manitoba say about our church and our faith? That's an encouragement. I trust that we have a good reputation out there. People look at us and go, that's a good church. I believe we are. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us. Here's a line that I want us to remember and focus on this morning. And how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you were looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. We serve a living God. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Look at this line. And how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. Idols. It's hard for us in the 21st century to go there because they're talking about idols, and I'll get into that a little bit. There's a verse, I can't find it. I was trying to find it and I can't find it, but it was an interesting verse I came across a while ago where it says they worshiped God while hanging on to their idols. It's a verse in the Bible. It's not saying we should. It's making a remark. These people worship God, but they still hung on to their idols. How do you do that? God said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods, small g gods, before me. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And then I was thinking about, do you remember the Israelites? Moses is up in the mountain, and the Israelites come down, and the Israelites, while they're waiting for Moses, they're getting impatient. And so for some reason they convince Aaron to make what? A cow, a golden calf. Bring all your earrings and your jewelry and everything, and let's melt it down and make a golden calf. And they said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. Now think about that. This is the God that brought you out of Egypt. That's what they said. Give me a break. You're looking at this golden cow, however big it was. That thing brought you out of Egypt. That thing did the 10 plagues in Egypt. That thing split the water of the Red Sea so we could all walk through. That thing is causing the pillar of fire at night and the cloud during the... That thing is what actually helped you? Now bow down and worship that. I never realized, actually, can I use the word stupid? How stupid that was. I don't get that. I don't get that. An idol of a golden calf is what... give your head a shake. I don't get it. Just everybody shake their head. It just doesn't work. Now, can you throw that? Or give it to me? Yeah. Okay. Pretend this is an idol. It's a nice block of wood. And idols in the New Testament and Old Testament were made out of wood or bronze or gold. I didn't have bronze or gold at home. And I didn't feel like melting all our rings or anything. And so I just grabbed this piece of wood and I made some nice fancy cuts on top and painted it with white and gray just to make it look a little nicer. Pretend this is an idol. Okay? Now, I've asked a few of you to read. Where is, Thomas, stand up and read your verses.
Present the case for your idols, says the Lord. Let them show what they can do, says the King of Israel. Let them try to tell us what happened long ago so that we may consider the evidence. Or let them tell us what the future holds so we can know what's going to happen. Yes, tell us what will occur in the days ahead. Then we will know you are God, In fact, do anything, good or bad. Do something that will amaze and frighten us. But no, you are less than nothing and can do nothing at all. Those who chose you believe in themselves.
Do you hear that? Go ahead, idol, do something. Do anything, good, bad. Do something, idol. Show us something, and we'll believe you, and we'll know that you are God. That's what it says. Okay. Cash, why don't you stand and read your verses? Okay, read it one more time. Read it one more time. I want you to hear what it's saying. Okay, read it. It can't move, like Thomas read earlier. It can't move. It can't do anything. Like, what's going on? That's an idol. All right. Scott, you want to read your verses?
Psalm 115, 4 to 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see, they have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell, they have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them.
Excellent, thank you. I was thinking about drawing a face on here, because that'd be as much as it is. It's just like ink. The idols, they can't smell, they can't think, they can't talk, their throats don't even make a noise. That's what an idol is. Now, think about that. Look at this definition of an idol. An idol is anything, how do we contextualize it today? An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything that you seek to give. Anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. In today's society, it's what grabs our hearts. In Thessalonians, it talked about how you turn from idols to serving, seeking, loving God, the true God. Sean, you want to read your verses?
1 John 5, verse 21. The NLT version says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." The NIV says, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols."
Perfect, thank you. Let me read what John Piper says. John Piper defines an idol as anything that we come to rely on for some blessing or help or guidance in the place of a wholehearted reliance on the true and living God. Let me read that again. An idol as anything that we come to rely on for some blessing or help or guidance in the place of a wholehearted reliance on the true and living God. Like a graven image or a golden calf, our idols today are often which capture our heart's affection instead of God. In other words, John Piper goes on, in other words, one of the problems with idols is that they contradict the transcendent nature of God as creator. Any representation of God made with human hands leads to a misunderstanding of God's transcendence. God, and there's no, I don't think there's any human word. We used to, I think when Rich Mullins came out with the song, Our God is an Awesome God, at that time, the word awesome was, it was a great word to try to describe God. Well, the Lego movie, everything is awesome when you're, can't remember what the Lex name is, should have that memorized. Everything is awesome. Ah, oh, that Big Mac is awesome. That car is awesome. My wife is awesome. Everything is awesome. You're awesome as a church. Thank you. Yeah. There is no word that actually describes the transcendence of God. And what we tend to do is, and what they tend to do is they try to take God so they can actually, they lowered God to something we could touch or feel or hug or something. But that's not God. That is just not God. Because if he was, we'd have to carry him. We'd have to clean him off. We'd put him on our shoulder to keep him from getting dirty. We'd do all kinds of things that we would do with idols. But that's not God. The fact that God is huge, humongous, awesome, transcendent, way beyond, and we talked about this at camp, about how the universe is just continuing to be expanding and being created, like it's just going and going and going. It's incredible. That's our God, who can create and continue to create and continue to build. That's our God. It gives the impression, if not the direct assertion, that God is somehow in our power. We can carve him, or paint him, or put him in our pocket, or on a shelf, or carry him on a cart. So the psalmist says, no! Exclamation point. No, the Lord made the heavens. In other words, he's absolutely transcendent. And you can't carve him or control him in any way. Why did the Apostle John end that way in chapter 5? What Sean read is the very last verse of 1 John. There's no greetings to everyone else, say hello to, and God bless you, and everything like all the other letters in the Bible, letters in Scripture in the New Testament. He ends it with, dear children, keep yourself from idols. Period. Ending. He says in 1 John, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So he says that in chapter 2, and right at the end, he drives home the point, keep away from idols. Keep away from things that would draw your heart away from God. Keep God first in your life. Keep him transcendent. Keep him amazing. Keep him awesome. Now, the Apostle Paul may have had literal material images in mind when he said, keep yourself from idols. But I think, John Piper writes, but I think he was also thinking of the more general, deadly problem that anything in the world that successfully competes with our love for God is an idol. So keeping ourselves from idols, that is, love God and all that He is for us in Christ more than you love anything. Okay, let's have a little bit of fun with this. Tell me, what are some of your idols? And we're going to list some of them. What are some of the, that, not that you have, your neighbor does? Okay? Either in the seat beside you or your neighbor, wherever you live. But what are some of the idols in this world? So speak them out, and Dwight's going to type them up as we go through. What's an idol? Throw me my idol. Throw me my idol. Yes. Throw it. There we go. Oh, you said it right off. I was going to get to it, but yeah, I'll come to it. Phones. You got it? Phone. Yeah.
Money.
Okay. What else?
Money.
A beautiful yard. Yeah.
Pride in yourself.
Pride or yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
Social media.
Yeah. What else?
Sports.
Go Jets, go. Yeah. Just kidding. What else?
Other relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. Different relationships that we can have. Yeah. What else? I have two grade one boys that sit over here in my bus. They point out Teslas to me as we're driving around. Grade one. So let's add cars. What else? Come on, there's got to be a lot more.
Jobs. Home decor.
Only if you watch HGTV all the time. Don't admit it. Yeah. Home decor. What else?
Celebrities.
Oh boy. Don't get me started there. But
TV.
Yeah. Yeah. What else?
Friends.
Yeah. Are we running out of room there? Oh yeah. Okay, now, here's the thing. Are any of these evil? Well, maybe pride might be, but are any of these evil in and of themselves? No. Now, this would be evil, okay? But are any of those things evil in and of themselves? No, not necessarily. But what do they do? What's the definition of an idol? Where it takes our hearts away from God. Now, we're not being legalistic, or I'm not saying you have to get rid of all your home decor. Yep, that's our, you want to be a member of this church, you have to get rid of, oh, Scott. Thumbs up. Sorry, Randy. You know, we have to get rid of all our, and that used to be, in years back, previous generations, some of you may remember that. You just couldn't do a lot of, those were all worldly things. No. But it's a slippery slope of actually what becomes an idol in your life. What actually, and that's where the phone or the TV or some of the things that we go to often. And I've talked about the phone before, how many times we touch this thing. One of the things that will help you is turn off the notifications. That'll help you big time. Beep. Oh. Beep. Right? Turn off the notifications. That'll help you. But one of the things we need to look at, and this is, I can't tell you what that is for your life. That'll be some of the reflection and application I'll get you to do, is to think through, okay, what is it? I have given my life, I've put away the stuff of my life, and I'm now serving the living God. We declare that individually and as a church. We've put away our idols, we're following God. But those idols, those things keep pulling us away from Him. What is that for you? What is that for you? Turning away from idols to serve the living and true God. Now I want to go to Acts chapter 17. Now the interesting thing here is that after Paul had started the church in Thessalonica, and then he'd gone to Berea and he started another church, he went off to Athens. And he was there by himself for a while. And then it goes to, what verse did I give you there, Clay? Did I give you Acts 17? Oh, okay. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He was deeply troubled. But then he's talking to all kinds of people. He's doing debates.